Last month, when the Defense Department issued contracts to manage the next generation of its TRICARE health plan, it was almost a given that there would be protests. As of last Friday, the Government Accountability Office has received three of them, and maybe most surprisingly, one of them came from one of the winning bidders. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about this in part of this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, and Jared joins me now to talk more about that. I don't think I've ever seen a winning bidder protest. Have you, Jared?
And not that I can recall. That was definitely the most surprising thing when we finally got the tally of who had complained to GAO by the end of last week. But as you alluded to in the lead-in there, it was a virtual certainty just because of the sheer value of these contracts. As we reported a couple of weeks ago, the Defense Department decided to consolidate what's currently the north and south regions of TRICARE into one sort of mega region that's now going to be called TRICARE East. That contract alone worth $41 billion over almost 6 years. And then the west region, which already exists, that alone is worth $18 billion. So we knew for sure there were going to be protests. Again, the surprising thing is that one of the protests came from one of the winning bidders, which was Health Net Federal Services. They were awarded the contract to manage the west region of TRICARE. They filed a protest with GAO saying that their proposal should have led them to earn the east contract instead. And it's a sort of easy to understand why they might want to lodge that protest, just because that east region is so much larger, so much more potentially lucrative at $41 billion versus $18 billion. But on the other hand, part of your brain just says, wow, you just won an insanely large contract. Maybe you want to just leave well enough alone. But I think another part of the calculus here, Tom, is that if history is any guide, there's going to be a lot of shaking up before any of these companies actually move into position and start performing on these contracts. In the last round of TRICARE contracts, which were awarded in 2009, that was called T3, it took a full 3 years before the dust completely settled around all of those protests, and all of the companies were actually firmly in place, and none of the companies who are managing those contracts today were the ones that DOD originally picked. So I think there's some calculation here that you might as well get your protest in as almost a protection.
And so while these things are resolved, does that mean that the incumbent contractors just get extensions?
Yeah, that's basically what it means. There's slightly different circumstances in all three because all three contracts that are in place right now were awarded at slightly different times. But yeah, they all have option periods that allow DOD to extend for anywhere from 6 months to a year, depending on the region you're talking about. And DOD and the Defense Health Agency, which is actually the contracting activity here, has made pretty clear that they really want to make sure there's a smooth transition once they're really, really sure that all the protests are done. So they are going to keep extending those contracts until each individual system on the contractor end has been tested and they can show that they can take on the entire workload that's going to be involved in these massive projects, because they did learn a lesson again in those T3 contracts when United Health, who's the current vendor managing the West region, got inundated with many more requests for referrals, etc., than their systems could possibly handle, and it created a serious logjam. DOD had to create some emergency workarounds for about 30 days, basically just telling people, okay, you can go pursue specialty care without a pre-authorization, because the contractor basically failed in that transition.
And getting back to HealthNet that has protested its winning bid.
Yes, yes.
This is a result partly, you write, because DOD had rejiggered the whole system. What used to be North and South is now called East, and they're the incumbent on North, and therefore they figure they've got the inside track at East.
Yeah, and
instead of West, which they did win.
That's right. So in that new East region, again, that's currently two separate regions. Humana manages what is now TRICARE South. HealthNet manages what is now TRICARE North. Those are merging into a single East contract. Humana won the East contract in the contract announcements that came out a couple weeks ago. Obviously, HealthNet believes that they're better positioned to do that, as all companies who are filing protests do tend to believe. But yeah, there is a certain amount of logic to that. I mean, they have experience in that part of the country where they really don't in the Western region, which is slightly different for a lot of reasons, especially just based on how much more distance people are dispersed over, and there also tend to be fewer concentrations of military treatment facilities, so quite a bit more, in some ways quite a bit more work to do in terms of stitching together that purchased care provider network where military members, retirees, family members, etc., don't necessarily have the same amount of access to a military treatment facility.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's DoD reporter Jared Serbu. And just to be clear, these contracts are to provide the health care services themselves or to manage all of the administrivia, I guess you might call it, that overlays the actual health care providers?
It's really more of the latter. They're not direct provision of care. They're essentially operating as an HMO on behalf of the Defense Department. And a huge amount of this money, the vast majority of this $18 billion and $41 billion, respectively, is really just pass-through money to the individual clinics and health care providers who are actually providing the care. But there are also cost plus incentive fee contracts. So there are there are incentives and award fees built into the contract depending on how well each of the companies performs, how their results in again stitching together these effective provider networks and sort of the health care results that they end up getting for each of the patients who are getting care through this purchased care network. And interestingly, for the first time in this contract, how well they integrate with the whole military treatment facility network, things like electronic health records, how well all of their systems can talk to each other so that DoD has one sort of integrated view of a patient who may be moving back and forth from an MTF to a purchased care environment, which happens a lot, obviously, with members of the military who are moving all over the place all the time.
And Jared, you're also writing about other protests, in this case, the protests of the Encore 3 deal, and these were lodged even before there were any awards made, unlike in the TRICARE system. And so what's going on now with Encore 3? Looks like DISA is going to make some changes?
Yeah, that's right. The notebook is a little bit protest heavy this week. Yeah, we reported on this last week that the Government Accountability Office had upheld, as you said, two pre-award protests against Encore 3. And people will remember there's been a lot of industry consternation around this contract, which is worth up to $17.5 billion over as long as 10 years, depending on how long DISA extends the option periods for. But the industry sort of upheaval was around the fact that DISA planned to use lowest price technically acceptable methodologies to decide which vendors presented the best value to the government, which several large industry groups, including the Coalition for Government Procurement and ITAPS and the Professional Services Council, wrote directly to Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, which is a pretty big step, saying this is highly inappropriate here. It contravenes everything that you've been saying about when and when not to use LPTA. Their contention being that these are extremely complex government, extremely complex professional services, not the thing you want to be buying on the cheap. And also it's impossible for vendors to forecast what sorts of IT services they're going to be providing over this vast 10-year time horizon. So the GAO protest did not exactly get to whether or not DISA can use LPTA specifically, but they did find that the DISA solicitation that they put out earlier this year back in April really didn't have a rational basis laying out exactly how they were going to evaluate contractors. So they upheld the protests on two grounds. Bottom line, as you said, DISA told us late on Friday afternoon that they are going to amend that Encore RFP to sort of reflect those decisions that GAO made. They say it's only going to pertain to limited aspects of the cost price evaluation, quoting from Douglas Packard, the DISA procurement executive, but it probably is going to take a bit of time and a bit of effort to put this RFP back out there and have vendors basically resubmit their proposals now that they're hopefully going to have a little bit more information on what sorts of services the government wants to buy, and importantly, the quantity of services that they want to buy. That was one of the complaints from the two companies who had filed a protest, CACI and Booz Allen Hamilton. You're not telling us how many labor hours you're forecasting here, even though DISA apparently has those numbers internally.
Vendors on their hind legs, I guess you can call that one.
You got it.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much for joining me for that update.
You bet.
You can read Jared's DoD reporter's notebook and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.